I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome everyone to RB1 : A Fantasy Football Podcast. Oh, and here comes Bert. Hello, Bert. Yes, you noticed that I just started talking. Part of the Fake Teams Podcast channel.
Hi.
I am your humble host, and thinks the Patriots should tank for Trevor, Pete Rogers, and I am joined by some of the guys. We have the working girl and keeper of keys and grounds at Buccaneer Bandwagon, Jordan Smith, and ginger clean shaven man and political wildcard, Nick Butterford. Guys, how are we doing tonight?
Good.
Good, man. How are you doing?
I am doing well, currently being attacked by Bert. Jordan, your mustache is looking glorious.
I haven't shaved in like 3 weeks now, so I'm just riding it out.
You look absolutely incredible. Nick, meanwhile, has shaved yet again. Just can't let the beard grow, Nick. Can't let it be free.
Aren't we like under CDC orders to shave our faces? Like this is the one time you need to be shaving your face.
I think I'll be all right with a little bit of chin hair. I don't have a full on beard, which unfortunately I cannot grow. So just gotta stay cleanly and stay inside.
Yeah, just scrub the facial hair down anytime you walk back inside. Then you're fine. Just scrub it down. Nick, I have to start the podcast though.
Okay.
I have to ask you a question. Since you were not on last week's show, and since you gave us all plenty of shit on Twitter for the TV channels that we drafted, I have to ask, what would be your show that you would take in the first round? What would be your first pick on a TV show channel draft?
X-Files.
Okay, well, your TV show channel already sucks, so. How does that feel, Nick? How does it feel to have a friend just rip you apart?
I know I'm right and that you're wrong, so I'm cool, man.
Well, interesting choice on the X-Files. That's
thank you.
Not a bad choice. Is it the right choice? I don't know.
Well, I'm kind of a fan.
That's
anyway, yeah.
That's not a bad show
going.
Is it what is that on any streaming device? Beck and I are looking for a new show, and yeah. I have seen some of it, but maybe that's something we can get into.
Yeah, it's on Hulu, and I am keeping my Hulu subscription right now I got it so that I could watch X-Files, and once I watch through the series again, I will be canceling it because I don't like supporting them, but I had to watch X-Files, so.
All right, well, there you go. Maybe
Hulu has a ton of good stuff, but it is like a garbage streaming service. It's like whoever decided that interface was like, yeah, we're going to go with this.
Oh, yeah, ugh.
Like, you can't find anything on there. Nobody knows what's on Hulu.
It is very weird to use. I just don't like the company. So it's one of those like, all right, I'll do it. I'll get a couple months in and then I'm going to bail.
It's like a tease. You're teasing them. You're like, hey, you think you have my business, but really I'm only giving you my business for a little bit of time. So don't get comfy. It's like renting
exactly.
your couch out to a friend. It's like, hey, you can crash, but you can't stay here that long. So don't get comfy. I feel like those are good parallels.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, we are going to talk some football this week. Unlike last week, we're going to play the greatest game in the podcast universe. Play some Would You Rather. Talk about all kinds of things. The NFL draft is coming up, so I'm sure that'll be brought up. In fact, I can promise that'll be brought up because I have some questions revolving around it. Before we get into the game, though, I do want to – how do you guys feel? Because this is something that I've been it's not a huge thing to be grappling with, but I kind of feel like the NFL should be taking an L here. How do you guys feel about the NFL's complete lack of any kind of change in regards to COVID-19. Whereas every other league, obviously, since they've been currently going on, the league has been shut down. Seems like the NBA season is probably not coming back. Baseball seems like they might be moving to their summer league stadiums in order to mitigate the amount of people. Meanwhile, the NFL is like, we're going to be on in September and everyone better be there. I feel like I don't know if the NFL should be taking some precautions or like preparing for the possibility that maybe things will be different in September. I don't know if that's there, like that should be something that they should be doing. It just seems to me that the NFL is kind of like in classic NFL fashion, like blindly running forward and being like, to hell with all of your precautions. We're doing it our way. I don't know.
I can't really hold like much more contempt for how the league works than I already do. At this point, I'm just like not surprised that they haven't changed how they would run or operate business as usual. And I guess they do technically have some time before the season is officially underway, but they've been grappling with a pretty rough product in September as it is, based on their lack of practice time, the lack of time that they can actually get together and be good. So if they can't do, voluntary workouts or just work together as a team in any capacity, then even if they put them out on the field with, you know, nobody in the stands or however they want to do it in September, it's not going to look great. They might do more damage to their product by putting it on the field than by just waiting a little bit.
Yeah, I think the only worse United States based sports outfit is the UFC, and both of them, as you were saying, Jordan, just continue to show they don't care at all about their athletes. This is entirely a profit driven enterprise. I think that they should be doing the exact opposite of what they are doing, and they should have, as all businesses should have done, and our federal government should have said, all players will be paid no matter what happens. And we're going to take every precaution necessary, rather than doing this. We'll be on in September, you know, absent any sort of scientific backing. For those interested, the Established to Run guys had Andrew Brandt on. Jordan, you, I'm sure, know who of whom I speak. Former, I think he was director of player personnel or GM of Green Bay Packers. And he gave his insights as to what he thinks the league will do. He doesn't think that if the season doesn't happen, he doesn't think that they're going to have if the season does not happen, he doesn't think the players will get played. What he expects to happen is the league year gets kicked back to like December. But to answer your initial question, Pete, and stop rambling, yeah, they what they're doing is contemptible. I can't believe it.
I mean, it's like it's to the point where even Adam Schefter is like fed up with this shit. I saw like he had an interview where he was like, at some point, the NFL has to recognize that we're in a state of chaos right now and you have to take precautions for what's going, what's going to be coming. I like selfishly was kind of happy that they didn't like postpone free agency because of the fact that it was a nice release when a nice distraction when there was no sports to distract. Like it was that kind of chaos was fun. The draft is now going to be like a fantasy draft where everyone's going to phone in from their house, which I guess will be exciting. But it does seem to me it's well within what we've expected and come to expect from the NFL and how the NFL operates. But I feel like the NFL should be getting a lot more shame for it's just blatant, like, we're going to be on in September and you all should be there. We're going to have packed houses. I mean, it shouldn't come as a surprise, as the NFL owners are all, old white men who are down to dollar profit, and it shouldn't be surprised that them and our, and Trump are all basically spouting the same shit, where it's like, things will get better. Things will be better. And we just have to, everyone go back to work and it'll solve itself. It's like, that's not how it works. Anyways, we don't need to delve too much into that. Since we haven't talked about football in a while, it was something that had been, I've been thinking about, where I'm just like, all right, NFL, how about growing a pair of balls and being like, you know what? We recognize that we're in a crazy state of how things are and the world is very different. Like, maybe we will delay the league, or at least not go into this season thinking that like September, everything's going to be hunky dory. Anywho, on to much more fun. It is time to play Would You Rather? I have a whole laundry list of questions, so we will go for as many rounds as we see fit. Let us start off with Jordan. Why don't you start us off with your first, with a would you rather?
All right. My first would you rather is a pretty quick one. It has to do with some incoming rookie wide receivers here. And based on where they might end up in the draft. So these guys might go in the early teens, late, 10, 11, 12 range. So would you rather have CeeDee Lamb on the Las Vegas Raiders and whatever is going on there with Derek Carr, or would you rather have Henry Ruggs III on the Broncos with a, are we sure he's good at Drew Lock? And Courtland Sutton's there.
You're saying from a fantasy standpoint?
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you rather draft them like in a rookie draft with your, if you're doing dynasty league, et cetera?
Yeah. I'm still learning really about this incoming class to pat good fantasy people on the back. I highly recommend everybody check out what Sports Info Solutions is doing right now. If you donate to a charity, to a COVID related charity, they will send you a copy of their SIS football rookie handbook for free. If you Dope. Make the donation and then just send the receipt to them. Yeah. I got mine like 2 days after I made the donation. So everybody hit that up. So as far as what I understand of the players, and their situations go though, I think I'd probably be more inclined to, is this redraft, like just a standard redraft, or is this dynasty?
I guess if you have like separate answers for each one, if you feel like one pairing might have better upside over the other one. But I'm mostly looking at like, obviously you might have opinions on which receiver is better, but like, for example, myself last year, I did not look a whole lot at situation than I should. So I want to look at situation more this season.
Okay. So, yeah, I think that there's going to be more opportunity for like an alpha dog in Oakland or in Las Vegas. Waller is a terrific tight end, receiving tight end. Tyrell, the gazelle, Tyrell Williams, he's kind of like a poor man's Anquan Boldin. I think that there's a whole lot of room there to get a lot of work. So if I'm just going like, this season, give me CeeDee Lamb. As far as the Broncos go, though, I do think that they're developing something good right now. But Drew Lock coming into his second year, he started, like six games or something last year. He's still pretty green, and he's got Courtland Sutton there as a target monster right now. So I don't think I would want Ruggs in Denver this year. But I think long term, I might be more interested in them because I think that they're, as an organization, kind of just getting started, and there's so much influx long term with the Raiders.
So I agree with Nick, though I do love Henry Ruggs. I think Henry Ruggs is not, I want people to not think of him as like this speedster deep threat a la John Ross, a la Darius Hayward, like these kinds of receivers who come into the league and they're a one trick pony. Henry Ruggs is a legit wide receiver regardless of his speed, and he just happens to have blazing 4.2 speed. On your note, Nick, I did a mock draft. I do a bunch of them on fake teams. And the most recent one I did, I got spicy and I was like, okay, let's have the Chargers trade up for Tua. The Dolphins freak out and decide that they're going to tank one more season and they take Isaiah Simmons. And so that means Justin Herbert falls all the way down to our boy, John Elway, who just can't say no to a 6'7" quarterback who can throw 70 yards standing still. And Broncos fans all got up in my mentions because I guess Drew Lock somehow has like won this fan base over despite showing not that, like, was he fucking incredible to the point where I just totally missed him? And like, all of a sudden now he's like the savior of this franchise that I completely overlooked. Like, I was amazed at how quickly all of Denver was like, oh my God, this is a stupid mock draft. The Broncos would never do that. We have Drew Lock. It's like, well, do you? Is Drew Lock really your franchise?
I have seen similar things occur. The people love Drew Lock, the people of Denver.
When did this happen?
I think we've had a lot of time to be shut up in our homes thinking about whatever we want to think about, and everybody's like, dude, shit, Drew Lock play this year. I mean, and I think that he is promising. Something you like to see is a guy step in early and then go, who is my best target? Okay,
and then just force
him. And that's what he did with Courtland. So, like, you like that, you know? You like to see a guy play to his strength. I think he's promising.
I would for Jordan, for your would you rather, I would agree with Nick. I would go CeeDee Lamb on the Raiders, just given the fact that he could be a target hog, given the fact that Marcus Mariota is going to start there in week 5. And I love Henry Ruggs. If Henry Ruggs went to any other team other than the Broncos, I would be like, if Henry Ruggs went to the Jets, I think I would take Henry Ruggs over CeeDee Lamb.
I will not take anyone.
I know it's going against my ban Adam Gase, but like, whoo, they got it. The Jets have to go wide receiver, right? They have to take a wide receiver because they've done absolutely nothing in this offseason in order to like put talent around Sam Darnold.
Whoever it is, if they look at Gase the wrong way, they're just done.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning CeeDee Lamb because both of these guys, I feel like those two and Jerry Jeudy are kind of interchangeable for the best wide receiver in the class. I don't really know if there's anybody that has separated themselves yet, but it just seems like in Oakland, he would be like the guy because Tyrell Williams, who is their de facto number one wide receiver, is clearly a number two. And Courtland Sutton in Denver is a number one. So, yeah, I think I would lean Lamb.
All right, sticking with the NFL draft, here's my first would you rather. I alluded to one of what I did in this mock. I talked about this very quickly, brushed over it. But would you rather Tua go to the Chargers or the Dolphins from a fantasy standpoint?
From a fantasy standpoint this year, the Chargers, I mean, they're just so loaded as a team, but I have to just put in the caveat that in real life, I don't want anyone to have to go play for the Chargers. They're the stupidest goddamn team. Is this
because you think Tyrod Taylor's the real deal and you don't want anyone to get in his way?
That's what it is. That's actually what I was getting to, is not that they're so ignorant that they refuse to have an analytics department and they will tank anybody's career. Like, just, God, can you imagine what Philip Rivers could have been?
Well, we're about to see.
Yeah, we are. And I'm actually coming around on that one. But anyway, the Dolphins, though, we should give them credit. Preston Williams, Devontae Parker, Gesicki, if he gets his shit together.
If the Dolphins take Tua, this team, I think, is going to have a quick turnaround because they've put a lot of pieces on that defense in the offseason. We've seen that everyone will play for Brian Flores. Like, I think the Dolphins are going to have to give up a lot to get Tua because I don't think he's going down to 5 now. I think the Dolphins are going to have to trade up for him, especially because the Chargers are basically saying that they're going to take a quarterback with their pick and will probably be aggressive moving on draft day. I think that this Dolphins team could be something with Tua, especially since everything is saying that Tua is going to be healthy day one. I know that Chargers have a ton of weapons, but
I don't think
I might trust that Dolphins offensive line a tad more than what LA has.
I'll need to brush up on his health stuff. Dr. Chow is not necessarily, his prognostication was basically the injury that Tua suffered will never allow him to return to 100%. But in his opinion, an 80 to 90% Tua is still way better than most quarterbacks. You are kind of selling me on the idea of him ending up in Miami being a better landing spot, though. for everything that, we kind of just talked, it's way better coaching staff. Their weapons are not necessarily on the same level, but they are damn good. And something that may be kind of an X factor is Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think having a veteran quarterback like that, who you can learn from, who just defines amnesia at the quarterback position. Like Russell Wilson always says, to play quarterback, you have to have amnesia. When you make a mistake, you need to forget it immediately. I don't know if there's anyone in the NFL who embodies that more than Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, 350 yards, four TDs, but four picks too, you know, in a game. Like, he doesn't give a shit. So anyway, that might be a really good spot for him.
I think the last thing I saw was just a couple of days ago, actually, on Tua's health. I found it right now, actually. Garofalo and Ian Rappaport said Tua participated in a voluntary medical recheck facilitated by the NFL Combine with an independent doctor. And per those reps that are involved with that, the results were overwhelmingly positive. Not sure how much of that is true. Obviously, this is a guy who needs positive medicals in order to go in the upper part of the draft, because other players right now just aren't as lucky because they can't go through pro days or anything like that to get in front of teams, medical teams, because of coronavirus and things of that nature. To get back to the question, though, I might end up copping out here and say it kind of depends, because Miami could be super interesting. I like their coach. I like their weapons. And they still have two more draft picks in the first round if they pick Tua. So Tua might not be the only weapon that they add, or they could add like a Josh Jones from Houston, or like a Tristan Wirfs from Iowa, like two guys who are basically plug and play offensive linemen who are just ready to go. I might be just attached to, because both of those teams, their trajectories towards the end of the season were just completely different.
Totally.
They were not the same in any regard. So I guess I'm leaning Miami. Depends on what they do in the first round, but leaning that way.
Yeah, I like that. And I like where we all kind of came to, because I do feel like on paper, you're like, oh, Chargers, like Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, like that's Hunter Henry, done. But I think I'd rather Tua be in Miami than in LA. Nick, what's a would you rather you got?
So I am just kind of using this time off, you know, for however long we have it, to think about what do I actually like in terms of a fantasy league in general. So would you all rather, if you get to choose, and you know, we don't have the societal pressures, would you all rather continue this progression towards things like PPR leagues, extended flexes, extended benches, the removal of the kicker position? Would you rather continue down this path for your own personal leagues, or if the world is your oyster, would you rather that either, you know, for your league or fantasy generally, we revert back to the old days of like two per position, or two running backs, two wide receivers, quarterback, tight end, kicker, defense, no flex, all standard scoring? And Pete, I think I might know what your answer to this is, but not even decimal scoring, just whole number scoring. What do you guys prefer?
I would say I prefer the evolved methods of fantasy football. I don't like non-decimal scoring for some reason. It just really bugs me. Like it like activates some sort of OCD when I see the scores.
Which is so funny, because I'm the exact, like, decimals to me are just like, oh God, why are they not whole numbers?
True. But I feel like I've been in a weird spot with my fantasy leagues over the past couple of years, where I've tried to have like not one of everything, but like a little bit of diversity. Like I don't want to play in two leagues that are exact cookie cutter shapes. My preferred fantasy league has fully shifted to dynasty mode, though. It scratches a ton of itches for, you know, doing some rookie scouting, getting the drafting in, and then doing like consistent team building. It's interactive with your friends year round. So, I think that's something that's been, I don't know, pretty crucial, especially in these times with what we're dealing with, that yeah, that sort of social interaction is really important for all of us. And I've had a lot of just general interactions with friends about fantasy football, because you know, there's not a ton we can do. And as long as there's a dynasty league that's involved, then that's what I think I'm more leaning towards. I would like a lot of my leagues to ship that way.
I like the nod to the Dynasty League. I haven't had the pleasure of joining one yet, but I've got some, or have had a number of overly elaborate keeper leagues where you keep, you know, a number of players. We wrote a constitution and it got too complex. But the point is, that kind of stuff is really fun. I think it's, you know, it's kind of cool. I got high school buddies who I don't talk to other than football season. And it's, you know, it's our keeper league. We've been doing this since we were 15 years old, and it's, yeah, that stuff is pretty cool. So I like that. I like that nod.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's just personal preference, and I would lean towards I do like the standard. The scoring, I could care. I don't have as strong opinions about. I like small starting rosters, small benches. Like, it's all about attacking the waiver wire and like building a good team rather than like getting lucky and having the right person in your starting lineup for the right time. I like taking the luck out of it and more like putting the strategy in. But I think ultimately, Nick, what your question has shown is how important fantasy football and fantasy sports is in life. And in moments like these, you know, it's nice. It's nice to have that lifeline to friends where it's like, hey, let's talk some crazy shit that's going in our league, or just like talk things that are completely and utterly pointless, but are a nice distraction from the chaos that surrounds us. And when sports are canceled and can't do that for us, it's nice to have a fantasy league that can. That was, I know, the goal with your question, Nick, was to make everyone feel better about themselves. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
I will say, I think like generally when you have rules that pop up that, unless you've like created them on your own, like if you create a really cool rule for your league, I think that's awesome and makes it more special. But if you like found a rule that like is just being implemented with a bunch of other leagues that started who knows where, then, you know, you might think it's a pretty effective rule. So there's no harm in like trying it out.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, I do way too many dynasty leagues and they're all like a variation of one thing or another. So
all right, we have plenty more would you rathers, but we're going to take a quick ad break.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Real quick, would you rather? Would you rather have David Johnson or DeAndre Hopkins on your team?
Like right now?
Which... Well, the answer is whether it's real life or fantasy, there's a correct answer. But yeah,
that question was really meant for Clark, but since Clark's not here, I had to say it anyways.
Oh, that question is meant for Bill O'Brien.
Bill, I'd love to know your answer. Let's go, Jordan. Why don't you give us another would you rather?
So I'm not sure. I probably should have checked with you guys how much like deep dive wide receiver scouting might have done for the rookies. But I'm sure we've seen enough based on like the combine and stuff. So these guys are kind of similar draft profiles in a way. So I wanted to ask if you're more in on Denzel Mims, would you rather have, I guess, Denzel Mims or Justin Jefferson? Because both are relatively raw players, but have really good athleticism and really showed out at the combine. It's hard to tell what they might turn into at this point. They're not exactly sure things, but they're kind of going towards the back end of the draft as part of the like top seven of wide receivers, but definitely not in the top three.
Well, yeah. So I'm really still kind of on the fly learning about a lot of this stuff, but I think what perhaps might put Jefferson ahead is his route running ability. Whereas Mims, correct me if I'm wrong here, is much more of just a specimen, like an athletic freak. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, he's got really great athleticism, elite explosion, speed, et cetera, but he's got a pretty limited route tree.
Do you know when he, what year or how old he was when he broke out? Like I'm really into the breakout age.
I mean, last year he went absolutely nuts at Baylor.
Yeah,
we're talking about like player profile. Player profiler, like statistical.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I do not, but I can try to look that up.
That for me, it's been remarkable learning more about, like, it's fairly simple concept, but if a college football player is young and they're able to produce 20% of their team's offensive production when they're 19 as compared to when they're 21,
sure.
It's a fairly strong indicator that they are a really talented player. It's, you know, a 21 or 22 year old is much more of like a man body than a 19 year old in many cases. So you look at guys like DJ Moore, Amari Cooper, those are the dudes who had crazy seasons when they were 19 and 20 years old. And it's been a weirdly consistent statistic. So if you could tell me one of those two guys, had success early, then I'll probably end up going with them. But from what I understand, Justin Jefferson has just shown more in terms of his ability to be a wide receiver.
Yeah, and that's who I would go with too. In today's offense, I feel like the kinds of receivers who will have the immediate impact or could have an immediate impact and have a huge role right from the get-go are guys who can play all over the field, particularly in the slot, because that's just become such a hot spot for receiver and receiving production, and can run routes cleanly and smoothly and have good hands. Like if you can get open, the ball is going to be coming to you. And I think someone like Denzel Mims, and it's not just because our boy Danny Kelly over at The Ringer compares him to DJ Chark, but that similar kind of like downfield big play guy, I think takes a couple of years or a year at least to kind of develop to the point where they make a big impact. And that's why you see a lot of these second or third year receivers suddenly like become huge. And it's because they're extremely talented, but it just takes a little bit of time for that to click. Whereas guys like AJ Brown, who come in as a rookie and can make an immediate impact, I feel like those are kind of cleaner route runners and are more able to kind of get open in the underneath space and then make plays happen from there.
So I have the breakout ages. Are you guys ready for this?
So yeah. Ready.
Yeah.
So Denzel Mims' breakout age is 19.9.
Ooh.
And Justin Jefferson's is 19.6.
Oh!
So.
Wow. Okay. So
good. Would you rather, Jordan?
Yeah. Yeah, that is. So these dudes both have very promising outlooks right now. So I guess I'll err with my original choice there of Justin Jefferson. He has shown that he is a better wide receiver at this point, but I don't think that I don't think necessarily there is an incorrect answer to this one.
I think that's pretty crazy in terms of breakout age especially for Justin Jefferson, because he wasn't like a highly recruited guy. I think, I mean, despite the fact that he went to LSU, I'm pretty sure he was, he just went there and like hopped onto the team and like had to really like work his way in. He wasn't somebody who just got a 4-year ride right away. I think he's also been hurt a little bit by the fact that Joe Burrow is probably the consensus number one, going to go to Cincinnati Bengals, the whole, LSU offense, that sort of thing. But I don't think we're looking at how good Justin Jefferson also had to be in order to play and be as successful as he was. And he really showed out at the combine, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Speed, especially. Nick, why don't you give us one more? Would you rather?
Cool. This one's fairly simple. Nice. Would you rather draft at the end of the first round or early second, Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, or Odell Beckham Jr.?
I am going to say Hopkins. Let me give you my order even. That's how well I'm going to answer this question.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to say Hopkins Evans, Odell. I think DeAndre Hopkins stepping into that offense in Arizona, I already am excited what Cliff Kingsbury has planned for him. He's going to be a target hog there. And I think him working with Kyler Murray and working with Larry Fitzgerald, I also feel like DeAndre Hopkins, maybe he isn't this kind of player, but I also feel like he's going to be just on a mission to prove that he was not the player at fault, like the person at fault in this trade, that like Bill O'Brien was like, oh, I don't like DeAndre Hopkins, having his baby mamas around. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be like, hey, Bill O'Brien, fuck you. And just ball out. So I put my money there. Love revenge narratives. Mike Evans, I think, is going to be sneaky better than people think, because I think people are going to have a lower expectations of him because they're like, oh, he's a down the field player. Brady doesn't love to chuck the ball deep. I don't think that that's entirely true. We've seen what Brady can do. Obviously, this was back when Brady was in his prime. Like, I will not pretend that 43-year-old Brady is the same as Brady in 2007. But the last time that Brady had a legit, like, down the field, go get him threat, Randy Moss set the NFL record for 23 touchdowns in a single season. I think Mike Evans is going to have a bigger role, and it will be better stats than people are maybe anticipating. I think Chris Godwin is still going to be the number one wide receiver in that offense with Brady, but I don't think Mike Evans is going to take too big of a hit. And then Odell at three. I think these guys are all really close. I just put Odell at three because I have more or less sworn off the Browns until it's proven to be. And that's just from personal biases, because I had Odell and Baker to start last year and they both let me down big time. And so I'm now just like, prove it before you earn it.
Yeah, I think I've actually come to the same conclusion in this thought exercise of Hopkins, Evans, Odell. Odell, I've been watching for the past couple of years now, and it's kind of disappointing. You still don't know what he's going to be in Cleveland, because you think after another whole offseason together, he and Baker might be able to sort some things out and he return to the level that he was at before. But it looks like they might not get another offseason together. As far as the Mike Evans, Tom Brady thing goes, Mike Evans is probably the wide receiver too, but last year we clearly saw that wasn't all that important. It's just another thing where I'm not sure how that situation is going to play out. We don't know how the Arizona Cardinals situation is going to play out, but I'm pretty certain that DeAndre Hopkins is going to at least be the wide receiver one. So I think I have him like a slight edge over Mike Evans, even though they're both in the situation of like new quarterback. You don't know how that connection is going to go, et cetera. So I think I just default to, I just think Hopkins is the best receiver out of the three.
I dig this. Okay. So I'm actually going to go Odell number one. And the reason for doing that is that I like what I saw out of Kevin Stefanski. He's still too run heavy, but he's very smart in the way that he calls his plays heavy play action, throws to running backs. He goes deep. He likes to utilize the slot receiver. He's kind of like almost there for figuring out like all the keys to just beating a defense. The fact that Odell and Baker now have had a year to work with each other is going to be a big deal here. The other two receivers will not have worked with their quarterback ever. And the point that you just made, Jordan, was apt. There might not be an off season. So there's going to be a lot of chemistry that has to be made at the last minute. And I think that the combination of Stefanski, who is an indescribable upgrade over Freddie Kitchens, and it's such a shame that Todd Monken isn't there right now. But I think that Odell is going to be my number one. I think the next I think is more difficult for me to make this differentiation, because as you've said, Pete, the pass didn't throw deep a ton last year, but when they did, Brady was as good as anyone else in the league.
Yeah,
like Brady top five deep passer. So I think that he still got that. And if we're divvying up ADOT, like Godwin, yeah, he's probably going to rack it up, especially in PPR. But if he's, you know, 5 yards further down the field on his average depth of target, then I'm not worried about Evans in that regard. Now, yeah. Hopkins, he has to go learn a new system. And he's got to learn how to work with a new quarterback. I still think he's going to be a wide receiver one, but I like the Odell situation way more. And my final thing before we take off here is I was irresponsible and did not look up ADPs until we were already discussing this. I figured that they would be somewhat in the same neighborhood. DeAndre Hopkins is currently this week in half point PPR. He's going off the board as the number 5 overall pick after Alvin Kamara. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are coming off the board back-to-back. Godwin at 13, Evans at 14. Odell Beckham Jr. is not coming off the board until pick number 68. People are taking him in the 6th round, so that's my bad for saying this. But anyway, I think that he will ride. You know, he's going to get more positive reports of his hip surgery going low and all that, but anyway, yeah, Odell is number one for me. And after that, it's really probably a toss-up. I think maybe Evans is the safer one, you know, because Hopkins, that whole receiver going into a new team thing is just standing strong in my mind, especially with what we just saw out of Beckham last year. But anyway, this was good. We're
my mind is absolutely blown that Odell Beckham is going in pick 60. I can't process that right now.
Yeah, I'm going to revise my I'm going to coin flip for Hopkins and Evans in the 1st round, and then I'm going to draft Odell in like the 4th. And
yeah, Odell rocketing to the top of my list now.
That way I don't have to get just one.
That is, please, I mean, don't fix that fantasy Cognoscenti, but do fix that. Do warm up on Odell, because he should not be going in the 5th round. I'll toss out a would you rather to get us going. Here's one. I feel like there's been two trends in the NFL. One that's been kind of the traditional seemingly trend, and one that's now kind of taking over into how you build your defense. So my question to you guys is, would you rather, you are a GM, let's say, and you're looking to build your defense. Would you rather have an elite front four or an elite secondary? Which would you rather put your time and resources into?
Oh man, this is tough. I don't know if I can answer this right away. I think honestly, I would rather have an elite secondary, because I think an elite secondary is way harder to build. I think it's much harder to get. It's so hard to get one shutdown cornerback, let alone 2 to 3. And then have safeties who are dependable, who can, you know, maybe one you have as a gadget player who can line up closer to the line of scrimmage like a linebacker. And I think as the New England Patriots have shown that it's better to have a secondary that can help you get covered sacks as opposed to just a one-man wrecking crew. I'm going to go with elite secondary. It's just harder to build.
Yeah, me too. Pro Football Focus is like 2 years, maybe 3 years into studying the correlation between, I think it was top 10 secondary units versus defensive line units, and how that correlates to wins and losses in a season. And the top secondary units are somewhat soundly beating the defensive line result.
Yeah. No, because it's interesting, because you're right. I mean, I think you, Jordan, you nailed it, where it's, if you have an elite secondary, like that's a very difficult thing to build, partially just because of the fact that if you're going to build a totally elite secondary, right, it involves one more player than an elite front four, because you need to have a slot corner these days. Like, you have to have 3 corners and you have to have 2 safeties who can all play at an elite level. But I also think, like what the Patriots have shown, where it's, if you have those coverage sacks, you can get, as long as you have like decent pass rushers. And while you can have a just absolutely absurd, you know, front four that can just get after a quarterback with ease, if you don't have any back end coverage, you just get the ball out quick and you let people do things. Obviously the Rams kind of come to mind as an example, because I mean, a team with Aaron Donald, you're automatically going to get a huge boost on that defensive line. And yet their secondary, they obviously went and added Jalen Ramsey, but their secondary used to not be as elite. And that was, you were still able to toss on them. But I think it's definitely a change of perspective, because it used to always be like, go get the guys who would go at, you know, get after the quarterback. Like, that's who you got to, you build from the trenches outwards. And now it seems like the defensive strategy is becoming building from the secondary and then inward.
Which is another, like, I haven't done any of the research into this. I've kind of just left myself guessing. I don't know if you guys have looked into it at all, but it makes me really curious why the safety market is so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I've wondered that, like, the past, like, especially last offseason, where it took, like, a guy who's, like, a solid safety, like Trey Boston, forever to land with the team, or, like, there's a guy who could have been a future Hall of Famer. I don't know about that now, but Eric Berry still doesn't have a team. Nobody wanted to sign Tyrann Mathieu to a big contract, and I'm like, you guys know that safeties are a part of the secondary too, right? And they can be very beneficial. See Earl Thomas, see Eric Weddle, see Kevin Byard. Like, there's a ton of good safeties who are very essential to what their team does as a whole. I was just always curious the past couple of years, like, why?
The market is bad because most teams are run by stupid people who did not earn their way into a front office. It's an old boys club, and there are old school things at play here. Like we were just talking about, traditional knowledge is, well, you got to build a defensive line. Yeah. You got to have a defensive end who can rush. You got to run on first down. You got to run on second down. It's same thing. Look at, you know, the winningest friggin' or whatever, the best damn team that any of us have ever seen play is the Bill Belichick Patriots, and just pick the year. What was his quote, Pete? A free safety can change the game or something. It was something to the effect of, like,
sounds like it.
A free safety is the most pivotal part of a defense. And Pete Carroll, his defense doesn't work without a free safety. Yeah. It's a talented center fielder changes the game in a way that no other position routinely has. That's not to say that, you know, an Aaron Donald can't win a game, but over the course of a career, that position is just, you can't beat it. And go look at the good teams, look at the smart teams. You'll see if they've got a good safety.
Well, look at all the best teams in, like, the 2010s, whether that's Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, Rodney Harrison, Bob Sanders. Even though the Colts' defense were always trash, he was always, like, a really good player for them. So I just don't understand it. I get the old people's club. They're probably thinking, like, oh, you got to win the battle of the trenches. And I'm like, yeah, definitely build a good offensive line. But how good does your defensive line really need to be?
Yeah. All right. Before Nick ditches us because he has a hard off at 9, we have a listener contribution to Would You Rather. So from Andrew Shuba, who had a longtime listener, first time caller. And this is courtesy from even him. He tweeted this at us, which is courtesy of Rich Robbins. So shout out Rich Robbins. You're being spoken about on a podcast. That's a win for anyone. All right. Would you rather go a year without internet and TV, or try to outrun a hungry velociraptor? It's in one end zone. You're at the 50-yard line. And if you can make it to the other end zone before it gets you, it disintegrates Thanos style.
How fast TV can a velociraptor
what's a velociraptor's 40 time?
They're extremely fast.
It can get up to 40 miles per hour.
Yeah. this isn't any of us are going to be lucky to, like, clear 15.
You're getting out of your stance and it pounces on you.
Yeah. No, you're dead.
That's this is,
oh God. We should ask, tweet this to Arian Foster. Remember when he was claiming he could defeat a wolf by letting it bite one of his arms and then beating it with the other? Like, get out of here.
That is how, how you fight a wolf is let it eat half your body and then use the other half of your body to beat it up. One of you will win. Either he will finish eating you or you will just punch him hard enough. It's like the one that we would always say is like, do you think if you were a running back lined up, whatever, 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and could you get to the line of scrimmage in a pro NFL game? This is the one we'd ask in college. And one kid was like, one kid was like, oh yeah, I definitely could. I could get to the line of scrimmage. I'm like, ah, no, you couldn't, because I could promise you the defensive lineman who weighs 300 pounds runs a faster 40 than you.
Okay. Yeah. Final note on that one. Shout out to all the people I've ever had to fucking watch football with who've been like, yeah, I mean, I probably run like a 4.5 now.
Well, I don't know what I was in. Wasn't it Katie Nolan who basically like collected all of the dudes on Twitter who said that shit and then was like, okay, come run a 40.
Oh, or, yeah, they have.
Or kick a field goal too. They did too, where it's like, oh, I could make that field goal. And she's like, okay, here you go. You said you could make a field goal, kick a field goal. And they all just like fail miserably.
So I want to say something that might just get me ethered in the Twitter comments. I don't care. I'm running the math here. So if I'm at like absolute peak of my athletic ability, not now because that's not happening, but if I was at my absolute peak,
yes,
my fastest 100 time ever was 11 seconds, and 40 miles per hour is 17.8 meters per second. And so that's, how did I do that math? It is 100 divided by 17.8 meters per second to figure out how fast a full 100 would be. So he's running 5.8. But if I already have half that distance gone, we might get to the line at the same time.
he might get your legs before he disintegrates.
But yeah, that still might be very scary. So I think I'll just read a bunch for a year.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you, listeners, for contributing and bringing that one and making Jordan do math live on the podcast.
First time I've done math in months.
I know. Can we also, this was a thing that irked me. Did you guys ever take math tests in like high school or college that were, you weren't allowed to use a calculator?
No. Well, I don't know. I was terrible.
I had one
prof who I remember, they were like, it was a test and you couldn't use a calculator. And I was just like, this is the dumbest thing in the world, because when in my life will I not have a calculator on me? Welcome to the 21st century, where it's literally in our pocket at all times. It enraged me to the point of no end, to the point where I'm still talking about it 10 years later. Never forget. That's what this math professor did to me. You know who you are.
That guy's a jerk.
That guy is a jerk. All right. Well, there you go. Nick's out. The hard off at 9 is true. He never lies about that. That's all we got. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. We are there. Follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. You can follow myself at Pete M. Rogers. Follow Jordan at Jordan_Smith27. And Nicholas, despite the fact that it leaves early, you can follow at Ginger_Nick without a K. We will be back at you next week to maybe we will do our own remote NFL mock draft. NFL draft. I feel like since we've been doing this for like 3 years now, the NFL's kind of copying us from doing these like remote from our room drafts. So I feel like we should probably get some loyalty for that. But until then, peace.